Okay, so since we started this shiur together, we've been talking about the history and the halacha and the meaning of tefillah. We spoke about shuckling, we spoke about the history of tefillah, we spoke about some of the halachot of tefillah like makom kavua and what language tefillah can be said in, but we haven't yet discussed specific tefillah. We touched on Shemona Esrei, but we haven't specifically gone through any of the actual tefillah that comprise the Jewish liturgy. And so I figured that perhaps that time has come. And so today we'll start with that, and what better place to start than with the first tefillah of our day, Modeh Ani. And in fact, as we'll see in just a couple of minutes, Modeh Ani actually bears a connection to the time of year in which we stand, to the aftermath of Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Nachamu, which has actually just taken place. And so that makes this also timely. We're not going to go from here through the end of the Seder. We'll start probably do a unit on Modeh Ani, and then maybe we'll go to something else, maybe some halacha of tefillah or something like that. But we'll start to make our way, I think, through the liturgy. And Modeh Ani is a prayer which, at least in many circles, needs no introduction. It's the first prayer we recite upon arising every morning. It's become a fixture of the morning service and probably one of the most famous tefillah that exists in the Jewish liturgy. Where does it come from? Where does Modeh Ani come from? And why do we say it? So over the next couple of sessions, these are the questions that we'll explore. We're going to look at this cryptic and, I think, fascinating prayer, including its origins, its meaning, and its message, and the halachot that pertain to it. And today, specifically, we'll start from the beginning, and we'll seek to understand where Modeh Ani comes from, and how it arrived on the pages of our Siddur. So, okay, does that sound good? Okay, great. So the truth is that Modeh Ani does not appear in the Talmud, does not appear in the Mishnah, certainly doesn't appear in Tanakh, although elements of it might, and we'll get to that in a second. The first time Modeh Ani as a prayer, as the prayer that we have today, actually appears anywhere in writing is in the 16th century. The 16th century in a sefer called the Seder Hayom. The Seder Hayom was a book. It was published for the first time in, I believe, 1599. And it was written by a certain Rabbi Moshe ben Machir. He was a rabbi and a Kabbalist in Tzfat. He was the head of a yeshiva just to the north of Tzfat that especially, in contrast to the Kabbalistic yeshivot that existed in his time in Tzfat, focused much more on traditional Talmud study. And this Rabbi Moshe ben Machir wrote a book called Seder Hayom. It was printed, as I mentioned, in 1599 for the first time in Venice. And we are lucky enough, with the advent of technology, to actually see what it looked like inside of that sefer for the first time. And source number one, this is a photocopy of the original printing in 1599 of the book Seder Hayom. And specifically, and that's why it's hard to read, I figured we could put a new edition in, but we would lose some of the sentimental and historical significance, maybe a little bit of the wow factor of being able to see the source in its original context. And so in the Seder Hayom, in the section on the morning prayers, he actually writes and he recites by word our formulation for Modeh Ani. He says, Zuvakumo Yomar Miyad, in source number one, and again, I apologize if it's difficult to read, it's only because this was written in 1599. Uvakumo Yomar Miyad, when somebody arises, they should immediately recite, Modeh Ani Lefanecha Melech Chai Vekayam Shehechazarta Binishmati Bechemla Rabba Amunatecha. I am thankful before you, O living and enduring King, for you have returned to me my soul with great compassion. Great is your faithfulness. Okay. That's the first time that Modeh Ani appears in the liturgy. It's interesting to note that oftentimes, the first time a tefillah appears, it actually looks very different than the one we have today. This is actually the exact same, word for word, Modeh Ani that appears in most Ashkenazi Siddurim, and I believe nowadays most Sephardic Siddurim as well. So that's interesting to note. But the question is, what happened? Why all of a sudden, towards the end of the 16th century, boom, a prayer appeared on the pages of an esoteric sefer, and all of a sudden, now we say Moda'ani. Is that really how it went down? Is that what happened? The answer is, of course not. Of course not. Of course Rabbi Moshe ben Machir did not publish this and have it uniformly be adopted automatically and immediately by Jewry. So the question is, and there are many questions, but I think the first question is, well, the first two questions, I think, number one is, how did we get from there to where we are today? And number two, although we're going to answer this question first, is where did he get this prayer from? Did he just make it up and write it in a siddur? What was the impetus behind him innovating such a prayer? Was he just feeling it that morning when he woke up? Why? Why did... Hold on. Still recording? Yeah. Why did Rabbi Moshe ben Machir create such a prayer? And specifically, what were his inspirations linguistically? Because he chose these words. Why did he choose these words? Where do they come from? So that's actually the question we'll look at first today. What were the literary inspirations? What are the literary... we spoke about the origins of the actual text. But what were the literary origins of the text? And when I say that, I mean the specific words that he chooses. Where did he get those words from? Why did he choose those words? Okay. So, the truth is that some of these words do seem to have been his own additions. But he did not, Rabbi Moshe ben Machir, did not seem to have invented this prayer wholesale. He seemed to have pulled portions and combined different words and phrases that appear in Tanakh and in Sifrei Chazal. So, for example, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos, in source number 2, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, teaches us the following. Meheichan Lamdu Shalosha Tfilos. From where did they learn the three prayers? In other words, from where do we know that we're supposed to daven three times a day, Shacharis, Mincha, and Mariv? So we addressed this question in our discussion of the history of Tfilah. We said that it's based on the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov davened, and based on the Korbanos, that the Shacharit, the Korban Tamid Shal Shacharit, the Korban Tamid Shal Mincha, and Haktarei Devarim. But we're not going to get into all of that again right now. But the Gemara, and especially the Yerushalmi, provides other answers to this question. So this is another answer to this question. Why do we have, from where do we know to daven three times a day? So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, in source number 2, Keneged Shlosha Pa'im Shayom Mishtana Al HaBriot. Well, the three tefillot that we daven daily correspond to the three times a day that the day changes for humans. What does that mean, the day changes for humans? So he says, B'shachar tzarich Adam lomar moda'ani lefanecha. And the morning, one has to say, moda'ani, sounds familiar, right? Moda'ani lefanecha, I am thankful before you, God, Hashem Elokai ve'elokei avotai, shehot seitani mi'afele li'ora, who has brought me from darkness to light. In other words, in the morning, when the daylight appears, you're supposed to thank God by saying thank you for bringing me from darkness to light. B'mincha tzarich adam lomar moda ani lefanecha. At mincha time, during the afternoon prayer, one is also supposed to say the same thing. Kishem shezichitani lirot hachama b'mizrach, kein zachiti lirot b'ma'arav. In other words, thank you Hashem for helping me make it to mincha of today. And just as I was able to see the sun rise in the east, so too should I merit to see the sun set in the west. In other words, it's a prayer that you'll continue living out the rest of the day. And then at the end of the day, Be'erev tzarich lomar yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai ve'elokei avotai keshem shahiti be'afel v'hotzeitani v'yora. Just as earlier today, you brought me out from darkness. So too, kach tozieni me'afel v'yora. So too, tomorrow morning, should you bring me back again. And then the next day, the cycle completes. And you say, thank you God for bringing me out from the darkness. And then at Mincha, you say, thank you for letting me see the morning. And in the evening, you say, please allow me to see a next morning. Okay. So what emerges from this is that apparently there's an imperative to thank God three times daily. Shacharis, Mincha, and Erev, and Mariv. There's an imperative to thank three times a day. And it was to correspond with these three daily thanksgivings that the Shemona Esrays of Shacharit, Mincha, and Maariv were established. Now, this sort of just kicks the can down the road if you think about it, because you could ask the question, well, from where do we know that you're supposed to give thanks three times a day? The Gemara doesn't answer that question. But in any case, we see from this Gemara, from the statement of the Yerushalmi, that there's an imperative to thank God three times a day, and it was to correspond, sort of layered on top of those three thank yous, that we say the Shemona Esrei, Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv as well. And the Gemara there goes on to give other reasons for praying three times daily, including the fact that it was learned from the prayers of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But in any case, we see in here the phrase, Moda Ani Lefanecha. And not only that we see the phrase Moda Ani Lefanecha, but we see it specifically connected to giving thanks in the morning. So even though Moda Ani Lefanecha, Melechai V'Kayam, etc., as we have it in our Siddur today, really did appear for the first time in the 16th century, that's not really the whole truth, because there are elements of that prayer, and there are elements of that prayer specifically in the context, in the morning, in the circumstances that the later prayer was originally prescribed to be written in. And that sort of shows us that there were elements of this tefillah that go back much earlier. The Yerushalmi is much earlier than the 16th century. What about the rest of the tefillah? After the words, Moda Ani Lefanecha, the tefillah bears no resemblance. The tefillah, in the Yerushalmi bears no resemblance to the Moda Ani that we have in the Seder Hayom and to the Moda Ani that we have in our Sidur.
But it's a cycle. It's like, so every morning, our neshama comes back. So it's like here, the light comes, it's like the cycle of the person, like the cycle of night and day, and day night, and
Sure. So, but I'm more asking about the literary elements of it. The wording after the first few words, Moda Ani Lefanecha, seems to depart from what's in the Yerushalmi. So the question is that there are other parts of this that also come from various parts of the Jewish tradition, older parts of the Jewish tradition. And it's here we start to see the Tisha B'Av Nachamu connection that I alluded to at the beginning of this year. It's Pasuk in Eicha, in Perek Gimel, Chasdei Hashem, or really, I'll read the whole pasuk, so I'll say the Hashem's name. Chasdei Adonai ki lo tamnu ki lo chalu rachamav. Hashem's kindness has not ended. His mercies are not spent. Chadashim libakarim rabba emunatecha. They are renewed every morning. Immense is your faith. Now, what's the connection between this and Moda Ani? Rabba Amunatecha, the last part of the second verse, is also the last part of the Moda Ani prayer. Rabba Amunatecha in this verse, your faith, immense is your faith, and maybe when we go to our next year and we discuss the meaning, or maybe that will be in two shiurim, we'll talk about more what that means, because it should say Rabba Amunateinu, it should say our faith in God. It says God's faith in us. That's a conversation for another time. We'll talk about that another time. But in any case, we see the linguistic similarity in this pasuk, and it seems to be obvious that Rabbi Moshe ben Machir borrowed this phrase from Eicha and used it here. And the truth is, this is a verse, by the way, that was written by Yirmiyahu. Our tradition, the Gemara, teaches us that we believe that Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha, the book of Eicha, the book of Lamentations, which we just read on Tisha B'Av. And this pasuk describes how, even though things were bad, and he talks about the destruction of the temple, it will get better. There will come a day when things get better. And this past Shabbos was Shabbos Nachamu. The old joke goes, it's a terrible joke. I can't even say it, it's such a bad joke. The old joke goes, what's a cow's favorite Shabbos? Okay, good. So, because of the comforting words of Yeshayahu in the Haftorah, and in any case, it's called Shabbos Nachamu, which means the Shabbos of our comfort, because of the comforting words of Yeshayahu in the Haftorah, and it's on this Shabbos that we express renewed faith in our covenant and in our redemption. And that's effectively, I think, what this pasuk is alleging. This pasuk is saying there will come a time, if you look at the original source in Eicha, there will come a time when it gets better. And that is also the same phrase that's in the last line of Moda Ani. All this is to say that Moda Ani, even though it first appeared in the Seder Hayom of Rabbi Moshe ben Machir, there are elements to it that predate it. And to craft this prayer, Rabbi Moshe ibn Machir seemingly borrowed verses and phrases from Tanakh and from Chazal. In fact, this phrase, Rabba Emunatecha, is not just borrowed randomly. The Midrash actually interprets this as relating to giving thanks in the morning time. It's actually a number of Midrashim who talk about this, but one of them is the Midrash Tehillim in source number 4. And if you look in source number 4, Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Rabbi Alexandri said, so he makes an interesting point. I'm going to read it in English for readability and brevity. Rabbi Alexandri said that people entrust flesh and blood with new things, and he returns them worn out and broken. In other words, when you give something to another person, they return it to you in worse condition than you gave it to them. That's just how people work. They use your thing, and they don't return it looking as nicely. However, the Holy One, blessed be He, entrusts worn out things, and He returns them anew. You should know that the worker works all day, and his soul is exhausted from it, is happy. And happy. And when he sleeps, he is exhausted and completes his soul for the Holy One, blessed be He, and it is entrusted to Him. In other words, we give our souls to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God returns it to us rested and refreshed, better than we left it with Him. When you lend something to another person, they return it worse. But when you lend something to God, God gives it to you in a better condition. As it says in Eicha, Chadashim Labakarim Rabba Emunatecha. Now every morning, great is your faithfulness. And so we see from here that this is specifically mentioned in the context of waking up in the morning. This midrash, this pasuk, talks about our verse. And so it starts to make sense that Rabbi Moshe ben Machir would have chosen it for a prayer that deals with giving thanks in the morning. Okay. So that regards its literary origins. There are other connections that we haven't discussed, such as the phrase Melech Chai V'Kayam, which is reminiscent of what? It's a song. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. That's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph. The full phrase is David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and it seems to be that very similar a phrase that he borrowed. But okay, fine. So Modani was a later prayer, but it has elements that is incorporated from, it incorporates elements from Tanakh and from Chazal. Without going to go into every single word, but it's very clear that much of this prayer is patched together from antecedent sources. And that's about all we're going to learn about today regarding its literary origins. Okay. The next question, and I think this is a very pressing historical question, when did Moda'ani become widespread? When did Moda'ani start to enjoy regular recitation and a regular presence in the Sidurim of Am Yisrael? So we know that it couldn't have been before the 16th century. Why? Because it wasn't written until then. Right. But how did it go from an isolated remark in the writings of an Israeli rabbi and Kabbalist to being the ubiquitous prayer that we all know and love today? And the short answer to this question is that it's not totally clear. We have some contradicting information, actually, about the deployment and the proliferation of this prayer. If you look in the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emden is a figure that we've discussed before. He was a German, 18th century German rabbi. He was famous for his opposition to the Shabtai Tzvi movement. He wrote a lot. He wrote 30-something Sfarim. A number of them were published posthumously. But in his Siddur, he writes the following. The Ket Chasidim Me'acharonim, a certain group of later Chasidim, Hosifu Midatam, V'Hitchilu Linhog Lomar B'Hakitzam Mishenatam, started out on their own. They started to accustom themselves to recite upon awakening, Moda'ani L'fanecha Melechai V'Kayam She'hechazarta B'Nishmati B'Chemla Rabbe Emunatecha. Basically the prayer Moda'ani. The implication of this, of course, is that if Rav Yaakov Emden in the 18th century is saying that some sect of Jews took it upon themselves to start saying Moda'ani, that this was not yet a widespread practice. So 100 years after the formulation of this prayer, maybe closer to 200 years after the formulation of this prayer, it was not being recited by the majority of Jewry. There was a group, maybe one or two, that were saying Mode Ani, but it certainly, from Rav Yaakov Emden's comment, certainly does not seem to be the norm. On the other hand, this is where it gets interesting. Unless, hopefully, it got interesting. But this is where it gets more interesting. A certain professor in Israel named Moshe Chalamish. Does that name sound familiar to anybody? Moshe Chalamish is an Israeli, he's a professor emeritus at Bar-Ilan University, mostly interested in the field of Kabbalah. And he has a book on Kabbalah and Tefillah. It's actually called Chikrei Kabbalah v'Tefillah. And in that book, he discusses Mode Ani. And as part of his introduction to the prayer, he elaborates on the history of its proliferation. And he writes, and I'll read it to you in English, "Those who edited Sidurim designated special attention to these instructions that one should recite Mode Ani. What he means by that is in many Sidurim, before the actual Mode Ani prayer, you would find an instruction saying something like, it's very important to say this upon waking up, or one should be careful to say this upon waking up. In the text of the Tefillah Zaka, which was a Siddur published in 1789, which begins, "The custom of those who walk wholeheartedly and act righteously is to arise like a lion, to stand in the morning to serve their Creator, and even though one has not yet washed their hands, arise and say Mode Ani." So you find in 1789, Sidurim exhorting the listener and the user to say Mode Ani, and this is not so far away from the time Rabbi Yaakov Emden described it not being so prevalent, but in any case, we do see that Sidurim, at least in that time, at least in that part in Livorno, were advocating the recital of Mode Ani. But then he says, and he actually goes to far-flung corners of the world, and he says that such is found in the prayer book in the Moscow-Ginzburg collection, number 1527, from Yemen, which the catalog lists as having been written in the year 1661, which is much earlier. If this prayer was published at the end for the first time by Rabbi Moshe ben Machir at the end of the 16th century, so that it was found in a... This is before social media, this is before email. This is to say that it made its way to a prayer book in Yemen already by the year 1661 is very significant. It actually suggests that this prayer, in contrast to what Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, suggests that this prayer was actually moving very quickly. And so he says, inside of this book, the order of all the blessings and prayers according to our custom, the Yemenite custom, Yemeni custom, that of the holy congregation Sana'a, which was the capital city of Yemen, and all the cities of Yemen. According to it, when one goes to sleep at night, one should say the following blessing, etc., etc. One must also forgive everyone who has pained them. And I will add that that is a good practice, I think, for people to take on today. To, before you go to sleep, sit and forgive the people who have wronged you. I think that's a good idea. Easier said than done, but a good idea. And to be careful to put a vessel of water about one's head so that you can wash your hands without delay in the morning. And then the Seder says, Sana'a Yemen, 1661. When one arises from their sleep, one should say Mode Ani, etc. When you wake up, you should say Mode Ani. And so too in the Pardes collection, in a certain manuscript there, when one arises from one's bed, one should not engage in any worldly matters, but rather immediately say Mode Ani lefanecha melechai v'kem shechazati v'nishpati v'lchem v'rabbe emunatecha, the entire Mode Ani prayer. All of this, yeah.
It almost seems both forgiving for spiritually minded people and for superstitious people. It seems natural to want to praise God upon awakening. It's a big deal that our survival, the darkness, the tigers, wherever we were. So it seems like an instinct.
We're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes, actually. So we'll see. We'll see that in a second. Yeah, sorry. The statement. Do you mind if I just say it?
Because I said that Modeh Ani seems instinctive because both.
tiger's coming, etc., etc. So you want to say that.
Okay. So what appears from Professor Chalamish's research is that if most Sidurim were printing Moda Ani, or at least some Sidurim were printing Moda Ani, even in the 17th century, its widespread adoption, at least in certain communities, goes back further than Rav Yaakov Emden, and wasn't just limited to the Hasidim HaAchronim. But yet, Rav Yaakov Emden was clearly making a historical observation about who was reciting Moda Ani. So it's safe to say that in some communities, this prayer proliferated much more quickly than in other communities. In Yemen, it seems to have gone very far, but in Germany, where Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived, didn't seem to have gained much traction by the end even of the 18th century. So we would have to say that regards its proliferation, there's some information on both sides, but it probably depends on where we're talking about. Certainly, in certain areas, it does seem to have gained widespread adoption relatively quickly, maybe even very quickly. Okay, so we spoke about where Moda Ani originated. But the prayer and the words and phrases we discussed also, and we spoke about how it proliferated and when and where, although the answer to that is, again, not 100% clear. The last thing that we'll discuss today, although this starts to move beyond the origins and the history of Moda Ani and more into the philosophy, and we're going to touch upon what you just mentioned, more into the philosophy of Moda Ani, is why do we need Moda Ani? What I mean by that is, granted, it's good to daven, and it's good to thank God, but our sages did not institute a Moda Ani. Our sages seem to have been perfectly fine with us not reciting some form of prayer, at least that's the way it seems right now, immediately upon awakening. And so it begs the question, certainly davening is a good idea, and it's meritorious and it makes sense. However, what were the circumstances that inspired the very creation of Moda Ani? Was it simply Rabbi Moshe ben Machir wanting to add a little bit of davening to his day and those of his readership? Was it that he felt that there was something lacking in the world and that's why he created Moda Ani? Why did he create Moda Ani? So we don't know what Rabbi Moshe ben Machir was thinking, but we can actually answer this question a little bit. As you mentioned, many rabbis and authorities, including some who were contemporaneous with Rabbi Moshe ben Machir himself, acknowledge the importance of giving gratitude to God every morning. The Shelah, who was a contemporary of Rav Moshe ben Machir, Rabbi Yishaya Horowitz, who's called the Shelah as an acronym after one of his most famous sefer, the Shnei Luchot HaBrit. We've discussed him before. He writes, Ve'achar sheyakit, in source number 7, Mishena Tov, you should thank God. That he doesn't say you should say Moda Ani, but he does say you should thank God for awakening you. And that seems to be intuitive. After you've just woken up, you've been given the gift of another day, at least so far. And so it makes sense to thank God in the morning. So we know that there's an imperative to thank God in the morning. But here's an interesting truth. The truth is that originally, even in the times of Chazal, there was a prayer that was instituted to be recited upon waking up. There actually was something that had taken the place of Moda, rather Moda Ani took the place of it, we should say. But it was the prayer, it was a certain tefillah that people did say upon waking up every morning. Anybody want to hazard a guess as to what prayer I'm talking about? What? Elokai Neshama. Elokai Neshama. Just by show of hands, who is familiar with the prayer Elokai Neshama? Elokai Neshama is a prayer we say early in the morning before the litany list of short brachot that we recite, where you thank God for restoring your soul. So the Gemara in Brachos actually says, source number 8, Kimitar Omer, when somebody wakes up, they should say, Elokai neshama shenatata bi tohora atayetzar tabi atanafachta bi v'atam shamra bekirbi v'ata atid lidlami meni lahachazira bi la'atid lavo kol zman shehaneshama bekirbi moda ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai ve'Elokei Avotai ribon kol amim adon kol neshamot baruch ata Hashem machazir neshamot lifkirim itim. Almost identical to the Elokai neshama that many of us recite today. And it's clear, the Gemara says, ki matai or omer. When you wake up, this is a prayer that you should say. The Rambam takes this one step further. In his codification of this halacha to say Elokai Neshama in the Mishnah Torah, in source number 9, he doesn't just say that you should say it when you wake up. He says, B'sha sheyikatz b'sof sheinato mevarech v'hu al mitato. You should say it while you're still in bed, before you've actually gotten out of bed. So the Gemara says you say Elokai Neshama right upon awakening. The Rambam specifies, literally right upon awakening, before you even get out of bed, you should say, Elokai Neshama. And then he quotes the Lashon of the prayer. It seems that Elokai Neshama was the original Moda'ani. And in fact, if you actually juxtapose Moda'ani and Elokai Neshama side by side, the themes are essentially identical. The themes are essentially identical. Elokai Neshama is a little bit more elaborate than Moda'ani, but the themes are essentially identical. And it seems that Moda'ani did not exist, certainly not in temple times, because there was something else standing there instead. It was Elokai Neshama, which you were supposed to say immediately upon awakening. The obvious question is, well, what happened? Does anybody here say Elokai Neshama while they're still in bed? No. And you do the right thing. The halacha is that you should not say Elokai Neshama while you're still in bed. But what happened? The Gemara, the Rambam, seem to indicate that you should say it while you're still in bed right after waking up. But we don't do that. So the truth is that we don't do that because of a comment of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerandi, one of the great Rishonim, writes in his commentary on the Gemara, in source number 10, the Rambam, Katav Shemavarich Otam al Mitato al Haseder Shem Ketuvim B'Talmud. The Rambam writes that you should recite the various blessings upon one's bed according to the order in which they're listed in the Talmud, as we just saw regarding Elokai Neshama. Vizeh Temahu. It's very, very strange, he says. It doesn't make sense. It's a wondrous thing. Shemeachar She'ein Yadav Nikiot. Because since one's hands are not clean in the morning when we wake up, Heyach efshar lomar shivarech otam. How can it be possible to recite a bracha? As just for some background, there's a halacha that one is not supposed to pray or recite a bracha with unclean hands. And in fact, one of the reasons we recite Netilat, we wash hands in the morning, is because we assume that while we were sleeping, our hands touched dirty parts of our body. And so we wash our hands. But if that's the assumption, that we wake up with dirty hands because it's assumed that at night our hands touch dirty parts, dirty areas of our bodies, then you should not be able to say any brachot until you wash your hands. In which case you shouldn't be able to say any brachot in bed at all, certainly not Elokai Neshama. So we ask, he says, I don't understand how the Rambam could have said to say Elokai Neshama in bed if we really believe that your hands are dirty. How can you do such a thing? So he answers the question as follows. He says, Masha Sidro Tamba Talmud Kach, the reason why the sages of the Talmud practiced this way, Mipnei Heim Hayu Kadoshim, because they were exceptionally holy individuals. Umitoch Kach Hayu Nisharim V'rochatzim Yideihem V'omdim Inyan Shayul Cholin Nomar Brachot B'Nikiyut. They were better able to keep their hands clean. They were better, they were holier, they had a more presence of mind, and they were able to keep their hands clean in a way that we are no longer able to. And so therefore, it makes sense for them to say it when they wake up. But us, for us who have a harder time keeping our hands clean, we don't do that. We don't do that. And so we don't. The halacha is that you should not say Elokai Neshama before doing a Tilat Yadayim. Anu she'ein anu yicholin nizahir v'lashevet b'nikayan kokach eino nachon l'omram ela l'achar netila. You should only say it after Netilas Yadayim. What emerges from this is that all of this, I think, is that Elokai Neshama is supposed to be the original Moda'ani. It's the original morning thank you prayer. But we don't say it anymore because of a technicality. We don't say it anymore because you need clean hands and we don't wake up with clean hands. But Moda'ani Moda'ani, and we'll learn about this more when we get to the halachic discussion of Moda'ani. Moda'ani can be said even without clean hands. And we're going to discuss why that is, and it'll get us into some fascinating halacha l'maisa, some fascinating practical halacha. But Moda'ani is now, I think it starts to make sense why Rabbi Moshe ben Machir started innovating Moda'ani. It's because as we moved further away from the generations of the Talmud, where people had more presence of mind and were able to keep their hands clean, people stopped saying Elokeinu Shema upon waking up. And there became a need for a new tefillah, one that could be recited even before one cleaned their hands. And so Moda'ani was born. And so Rabbi Moshe ben Machir legislated, instituted Moda'ani and the recital of Moda'ani. He based it on psukim and statements of Chazal that deal with giving thanks in the morning. And it became a practice, a widespread practice in Am Yisrael. And this, by the way, is something that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, provides. He provides this exact explanation. It's actually where I got it from. In his historic discourse, Inyana Shel Torah Tachasidut. Or Inyana Shel Torah Chasidus. Anybody hear of the Inyana Shel Torah Chasidus before? The Inyana Shel Torah Chasidut was a landmark sermon that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave in 1965. It was on the nature of Hasidic thought and how it departs from other modes of Jewish interpretation, such as Pshat and Drush. And so, secret, Kabbalah. So he had a lengthy discourse. Discourses used to be much longer. Our shiur is going to be about 40 minutes. But, Rav Soloveitchik used to give shiur for 4 hours, sometimes I think even longer than that. Anyway, this was a landmark discourse given by the Lubavitcher Rebbe on the nature of Hasidic thought. And it was subsequently published. You can read the entire thing online in Hebrew and in English on there are various Chabad websites that have the translation. And he talks about Moda'ani in that talk. And he interprets it according to he gives a Hasidic interpretation of Moda'ani. Maybe when we get to the shiur on Moda'ani's meaning, we'll include that interpretation. And he uses it as an example of how Hasidim and how Hasidic thought and how Hasidic interpretation works. But in any case, this was his drasha, and it was given in 1965. And he writes, this will help us understand why in Talmudic times Moda'ani was not said, and only the blessing of Elokeinu Shema was recited in source number 11. For in Moda'ani there is nothing new or additional to the blessing Elokeinu Shema. Saying Moda'ani is required in our times only in order that thanks may be given immediately upon awakening from one's sleep. In the Talmudic era, they said Moda'ani immediately upon awakening from their sleep and had therefore no need to say Moda'ani, as we have explained. They said Elokeinu Shema. Exactly. Okay, so just to summarize, today we learned about Moda'ani. We explored the origins and the history of this prayer, and I hope that now we have a better understanding of where the prayer comes from, the inspiration in Chazal and in Tanakh for the wording of the prayer, and the historical development and proliferation of the prayer over time. In future sessions, we will explore the halacha of Moda'ani because it does pertain to some very interesting halacha, and I think we'll also seek to uncover some of its meaning. But that's it for today. I just want to remind everybody, if you haven't signed up to be on the email list, which hasn't started yet, so don't worry if you signed up and you haven't gotten any communications, it's because there haven't been any communications yet. But after this, especially because there's going to be some coordinating that needs to happen over the next couple of weeks, the email address, the system will be in use, and I would encourage you, if you want to come to the shiur, to sign up.